Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, my God, this guy's gonna swing on Jim.
He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
We're learning a lot about each other.
We got Homer, Matt Hamilton.
Yeah.
We have
pessimist Molly.
No. Realist.
And then contrarian.
Total.
Jim Rutledge here.
It's Murr.
I'm the problem. It's
Mister.
Could it be possible you guys are the best show in ESPN Wisconsin, the whole state?
Yeah, obviously.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
You're the best.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside Matt Hamilton and Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
I'm Jim Rutledge. I have the power in the Everlight Solar Studio alongside Molly Brown and the tank-topped Matt Hamilton. So if you want to hop onto the ESPN Madison YouTube stream, you can see Matt Hamilton in a tank top.
Matt Packerman.
A little bit of... For the stream,
yeah,
we're going to have
to... That's good, actually. I really like how you incorporated my Packer fandom into that.
Matt Hamilton wanted to come in and said, this is our game now. You remember that?
Primetime Aura Shine behind the glass. During the break, we'll move that sign to better fit behind Matt Hamilton on the actual stream. But we have an ESPN Madison sign.
Well, but it's blocking the door. That's what it's supposed to do.
Oh, I thought we wanted it behind Matt, so like you saw it behind Matt Hamilton. Pulling back the curtain, we have a very cool ESPN Madison stand-up sign that I guess I thought was going to be positioned right behind Matt Hamilton on the camera so you could, like, see that behind it. But it does block the door.
Well, yes, but it depends what angle you're looking at Matt from. Like, so
do
yesterday,
I need to adjust it?
No, we're good. We're
like,
good
yesterday, Molly's there was a shot of Matt, and it had the door behind it. So that's what you're going to block is the door. But
gotcha.
Then right now, the door isn't behind Matt, so then you don't see it.
Well, it's still behind him, but we just don't see it.
Well, yes, but on the YouTube stream
there it
right
is.
Now. See?
Okay.
Now it looks good.
Okay, I like it.
I understand what you're saying. We can figure it out.
Of marketing. You know what's going on.
Yeah, we can figure it out. It's okay.
Molly just hates that door. She's just, I don't want to see it.
Okay, that door, I've literally entered the password in multiple times, and it's the right password to get in, and it won't let me in. It's happened like 5 times in the last 2 days.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes. More than the last 2 days, because I feel like the last time we hosted together here, you were struggling to get
in. Maybe it's a me problem. I don't know.
But it was like just you and I. Like, Matt wasn't here yet, so it was like, and you were futzing with the door. I came over to let you in.
And you were very upset. I'm putting in the right code. I don't know. Maybe it's a me problem.
It's Fort Knox here. Is it warm in the ESPN Madison studios today?
It is so freaking hot, and I am wearing a sweatshirt.
Who's jealous of my tank top?
Damn! I mean, I guess.
I could. Should I go tank top? I'm basically wearing a tank top now.
Yeah. Our tank tops are built different. Mine has a front pocket, which means it's fancy.
Oh,
Ryan, are you wearing a tank top?
Of course, yeah. I always wear a tank top underneath my Brewers long sleeve hoodies. Yeah, T-shirt hoodies.
Just a side note, Matt, and you can chime in 844-770-3776. Carl was talking text line. List is more. Again, stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app and ESPN Madison YouTube. Almost never, including with T-shirts, don't have an undershirt on. Usually it's the tank top type one.
Okay.
So
just a regular old T-shirt?
I mean, if it's like I'm wearing around the house T-shirt.
Yeah.
Like you're mowing the lawn.
Mowing the lawn, no, obviously no undershirt. But like if I'm going out somewhere.
Obviously no undershirt. Come on.
I will
obviously
go.
No shirt.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I'm sure. Sun's out, guns out. Like,
don't you know about Carbon World Health? Haven't you seen the gym?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My glute
going there? Yeah.
Yeah. I do my. Yeah. Everyone wants to see. Travis Kelce has made hairy chest back in. I got to show it off to the whole neighborhood there. No,
yeah, we see it.
So you can tell Rutledge that.
A little low on that button there, Jimmy.
All right. Well, now I'm still
button up, pal.
My bad. My bad. There we go. Now I feel a little too preppy.
It's okay. Matt doesn't have like
Yeah, what am I doing? Matt's basically topless in the studio.
Yeah.
So, Matt, you do. What's your undershirt situation?
Very
Currently,
rarely.
Right now, you are not wearing
Yeah, but very rarely. Like, obviously, dress shirts, get an undershirt. And then if I wear a jersey, I have an undershirt.
Oh, yeah. That
just seems scratchy.
Yeah.
But, like, anytime I'm just wearing a T-shirt, like, unless I think I'm going somewhere where it's hot and I'm going to sweat through it and a second shirt might help, I typically just go.
See, I just don't like, and maybe I'm a sweater. Like, I don't like the shirt sticking to me. So I just, to avoid it, if I just put on
the other shirt stick to you?
But I don't care about
is
that.
Is it the static? What sticks
no,
to you?
No, like, if it's really
it's
hot.
A little warm.
Yeah, if you're hot, then, like, your body is, like,
you
got sweat on your body.
You get a little tacky as a human.
Yeah. And so, for me, I don't mind if the undershirt is tacky against me. I just don't want my shirt, like, I don't want to ever get a sweat stain on my t-shirt.
It's
basically what I, and so if I wear an A shirt, I don't get the sweat stain on my t-shirt.
Fair.
Okay.
So. See, that mortifies me. That's why you'll never catch me wearing, like army green in the summer.
Yeah.
Because guaranteed I'm going to have a pit stain. And that, like, certain colors will show, like, the worst pit stain.
And yeah,
that
is not so much
honestly,
a pit
probably my wisest wizard take that I've learned over the years is figure out what colors of shirts, and sometimes it's the material, most of the time it's color, will show the worst stain. That's a winter shirt.
Or just get Botox in your armpits. Did you know that stops sweating?
No, sweating
you can get that
like
done at Carbon
good for
World.
You. It's healthy.
I think you can.
But you can get that done at Carbon World Health. That's one of the multiple things they offer at Carbon World Health. Obviously, Molly's gone there before for the med spa and facials and all the things over there. I have gone there for semi-glutide. You can go there for hormone replacement treatment. So many great options at Carbon World Health. Go to carbonworldhealth.com to learn more about them. But Ryan, you never answered. So you think it's ridiculous to wear an undershirt?
I never said ridiculous.
Do you have a t-shirt under that sweatshirt?
No, but this isn't really a sweatshirt. So
it's like a long sleeve
hoodie
shirt.
T-shirt.
It's really more of a shirt, like a long sleeve shirt that has a hoodie on it.
Okay.
Really
yeah, I know what you're
is.
Talking about. Yeah.
So no. So you don't.
No. So I would never wear an undershirt. I would wear an undershirt under a normal hoodie. But I don't wear normal hoodies during this time of the year yet. It's still like 85 degrees.
What about
it's
a crew neck sweatshirt? Molly, do you have undershirt?
I was going to say, I will answer even though you guys are probably like uncomfortable
asking
me.
I was not going to ask you that, yeah.
I never wear undershirts. I literally wear a sports bra with a sweatshirt and that's it. So like on a day like today when our office is hot as you know what, like
you're stuck.
I'm stuck in jeans and a crew neck Nike sweatshirt.
And
like,
you don't, I hate
sweating.
Rolling the sleeves up on them too because you ruin them. Like,
I mean, I don't
elastic.
Care about that.
Is that the one you picked up on the way to the Bear game?
Yes, because I got ready in the dark this morning, as I typically do. And
green hat, blue shirt, blue jeans.
Yeah, literally. I was like, I'm not washing my hair today. I whatever. It's
you're
it's fine.
Vibe, though.
Thanks, I appreciate it. But I am a sweaty vibe
thank
today.
You.
My fop? Fop is
fop
sweating
sweat.
Today.
Yeah.
Hence why the hat is covering it. Like,
well, yeah,
because
Molly and I chatted outside, and she's like, and I was warm, but then she's like, I'm dying out here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, you are wearing a hoodie and jeans, so yeah.
Okay, also, I didn't know it was going to be like 85 degrees outside and like 75 in our office today, so
right. I went golfing
decision.
Today, so I checked the weather. That's why when
good
I got home
you.
From golf, it was a little warm. I'm like, I'm going to work in a tank top. I can't wait to see all the like weird comments and looks I get from some of our teammates.
I think that's an age thing, though, to wear tank tops underneath a shirt. Like, I really do.
For sure.
See,
like,
when
my
I
grandpa
say
undershirt, used to do it.
Exactly. I'm not wearing, I have, like, V-necks. I wear V-neck
t-shirts. And I wear V-necks, too. Same.
That's,
I,
like, my exclusive undershirt.
I have a few of the, you know, the Kirkland, like, the crew neck
crew
ones.
Neck.
But that's just for if I'm wearing, like, a hoodie.
Mm.
Like, or if I'm wearing something that's buttoned all the way up. I do not want, I mean, I want to show off the chest. No, I just don't want to have that white line across the top.
Taco meat? Isn't that
right?
What it's called? People
I'm a man!
Your,
I'm 40!
Isn't that what you call your chest hair?
Taco meat.
I've never heard of that before.
Isn't
no.
it what taco meat?
No.
No? Well, Google now you're
it.
Not going to be able to unsee it.
Google
Petroquia of Madison Oi.
What?
Anyways, yeah, Google taco meat and
yeah,
chest hair and see what
I'm
pops up.
I'm not going to Google that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
See what,
Urban Dictionary.
What right. pops back up.
I'll jump off the internet and use my phone.
while you do that, I wanted to. We got Forilla Phony coming up next, so we're going to get to some sports stuff in a minute here. But Robert
you
Redford.
You telling me this wasn't hard hitting, Jim?
Yeah.
Come
on. Yeah, it
get
was right in there. You're wearing a Brewers shirt. That's how we got into it. Robert Redford passed away today.
For a man's curly chest hair, taco meat. Sure
oh
is.
You, I told you.
You're so hip.
Jim's is like salt and pepper color.
Yeah.
You're so on.
See, now I'm embarrassed.
I'm a man.
Is such
is
a thing.
This is. Never mind.
It's saltier than it is peppery.
Yes, the part that shows is more salt than pepper. But in general, it's salt and pepper in general.
Yeah.
Very much matches
his
my
is
hair.
Like ground chicken, you know?
Ground chicken.
Jeez.
That's. Okay. catching strays for no reason.
Right. Jeez.
Jim, on other things about your appearance that you can't change, what else can we dunk on you for? Are you self-conscious about anything else?
Yeah, I don't have enough hair on top of my head, Molly. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Ryan's got a good camera angle, so you don't catch Jim's bald spot with the camera behind him.
But I do have one, so if you guys want to chime in on that.
That's what hats are made for.
Never take up curling, because that's John's self-conscious thing.
Yeah.
And all of the curling shots are top-down angles, so like he's like, I have to wear a hat curling, otherwise it's like a shine in one spot. I'm like, bro, it might be time just to give it up and buzz the old nugget, and you'll be fine.
Well, that was a bad idea for me, as you guys both said. So anything else you guys want to...
Don't do that.
Other than that,
again.
You look great, Jim.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I felt good about myself today, Ryan, but...
Did you work out at Carbon?
Yeah. Well, I don't feel good about myself anymore, though.
Jeez. Shouldn't have worn an undershirt, Jim.
Yeah. I'm going to shut the show down, and I'm going home.
Molly, you're driving.
All right. Hop in, Matt.
So the opposite of me, Robert Redford,
Why the opposite of you?
Because
he's beautiful.
Yeah, he's considered a handsome... Yes, no, that's fine. A handsome fella. He passed away today. I wanted to know, and he is... The reason why I'm bringing him up is that I would know him from two specific movies. The Natural, which is a baseball movie. Roy Hobbs, Wonder Boy was the name of his bat.
Is that the one struck by lightning?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely seen the movie then.
What?
The tree was struck by lightning, and he took some of the wood and turned it into a bat. And
yep.
There's lightning in the bat. It's cool. It was fun. It's actually, I have seen that movie. We talked pre-show.
Yeah.
I didn't think I had. Definitely have.
So 844-770-3776. That's the Carbon Stalking text line. List is more. It's not going to be specifically a signing limit poll question, but, and Molly, feel free to hop in on this. What movie, if any, do you know Robert Redford from?
I have to Google him.
So, and you can chime in again, 844-770-3776. That's Carbon Stalking text line. List is more. He is most famous for The Natural, according to IMDb, Ordinary People, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and then All the President's Men.
Wait, he's in Indecent Proposal, isn't that?
Yes, he's in that one.
I've never seen it.
Oh, really?
I've never seen it, but isn't it Demi Moore? Yeah, it's a juicy movie.
Yeah. More ways than one. Yeah, he offers $1 million, which still, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I've heard the premise of this.
Yeah, $1 million to sleep with Woody Harrelson's wife, I believe.
Which is Demi Moore, I'm assuming? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but he was a good-looking fella.
That's what I'm saying. That's the opposite of me.
He's 89, but
so
I think
you can tell
like
Rutledge that.
60 years ago, I'm assuming some of these pictures are from. Yeah. Good-looking dude.
So, Matt, where do you know him most from?
Now The Natural.
Okay.
Because I definitely have seen that movie, and I probably saw All the President's Men, but it looked familiar when I Googled it because I had to Google it to see, you know, if anything stuck out, and all the pictures like kind of rang a bell, but definitely Wonder Boy and that scene where he gets his wood for the bat stuck with me.
Well, so then
that's probably the only thing I really remember.
He hits the cover off the baseball at one point. That's another, and then he hits the lights out.
Right. And the lights spark, and it's really fun.
Tim in Oregon chimes in with Jeremiah Johnson and The Sting and The Way We Were as movies that he has heard of Robert Redford from. Prime, do you have a Robert Redford movie?
I mean, I've always known of him as one of the... Is he Bornstein or Woods... Woodward, excuse me. In All the President's
Men. Is it Bernstein and Woodward?
Bernstein and Woodward,
yes.
That's what it is.
I don't know which one he... I think he's Bob Woodward.
Because it's him and Dustin Hoffman who play the two reporters in there who uncover the... uncover Watergate. That's what it is.
Yeah, they uncover Watergate with the help of their source, Deep Throat. That's the name of the source in the movie and in real life. Nobody knows to this day, because Woodward and Bernstein have not given it up. Nobody knows who Deep Throat is, right?
It's a source. Source, yeah.
What movie is this from?
All the President's Men. Molly is just
Have you not heard about this?
Get your mind out of the gutter,
what
Molly.
Are you talking about?
It's the whistleblower and All the President's Men.
Yeah, it's the whistleblower. It's the source that brought down the Nixon presidency.
Did that make it worse?
Wait,
Deep Throat's a whistleblower?
I have a feeling that
that might
have been
connected. Isn't there a movie called Deep
Throat? No comment. Probably many.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I wouldn't call them films, though.
I'm sweating.
That was, you were already sweating beforehand.
Yeah, Robert Redford's hot.
Okay.
But that's like in history books. Like, that's like, it's a hell of a movie, All the President's Men. They get the source. Who? Wait, we never find out who Deep Throat is, I think, to this day. But like, the whole point was someone tipped off that Nixon was basically had spies and was phone tapping.
Was breaking into the DNC at the Watergate Hotel.
Yeah. They also reference it during Forrest Gump.
Yep.
Because in the Forrest Gump, Forrest, I guess in this case, would have been Deep Throat because he calls the police or whatever. He said, people are looking around. You know how they do in Forrest Gump? He appears in all these different things. So he like calls the police and says, there's people in this hotel room and they get caught.
Does he go, hey, this is Deep Throat?
Nope. He wouldn't say it like that, though. It's Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Like, this is Deep Throat. Like, that's how he'd say it.
I have so many comments, but I can't make them. Save it on the show.
Save it for our podcast.
All right, so 844-770-3776. That's Carbon's Talking Text Line. This is more. What do you know Robert Redford from the most? What movie do you know him from the most? Because he passed away, and he was in what I think is one of the best baseball movies of all time. That was The Natural. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We're playing For Real or Phony next.
Hey, this is Matt's Chicago doppelganger. You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN Madison.
Can you blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together.
Jim, Matt, Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
Great song, Ryan. He is so on top of it.
Matt Hamilton and Molly Brown. Yes, that's why he's... the world's favorite producer, Primetime Laura Shine. We are in the Everlight Solar Studio. We are presented by Coors Light. We did talk about Robert Redford movies, so if you want to chime in on your favorite Robert Redford movie, you can do that. The Natural and All the President's Men are the leaders in the clubhouse here. Ryan, you were saying that he was known a little bit from Marvel movies?
Yeah, he played like a secret Hydra agent and I think Captain America Winter Soldier, which is like anyone under the age of 30, that's probably where you've seen him from. That's, I think, the only thing Molly knew him from when we brought him up before the show.
Maybe.
Maybe even then. So, yeah, and even then he's like a side character. He's not well known amongst anyone in 35 or below, I'd imagine.
He was, I'm trying to think, he's a very well-known director and producer, though. If you look at this, there's a lot of executive producer credits that he has on things as well, of pretty popular movies. So he did move into the producer sort of, his 57 producer credits. But he moved into that world more than the acting world at some point there. So, Avengers Endgame, you said he was in. I'm trying to think of what else. Captain America Winter Soldier, you talked about that. But he was, I believe, no, that's, I get him mixed up often with Paul Newman.
He is the younger version of Paul Newman. He was Paul Newman after Paul Newman, and he was Harrison Ford before Harrison Ford.
That's a good way to look at it. That's one way to describe it. I feel like anyone older than me, because I went, like, his big thing was like the 70s and 80s mm-hmm. was like his big time. Like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, I watched that in film school when I thought I wanted to maybe make movies. And it's a hell of a movie. I watched that and said, I can't do that, so I'm out. Obviously, I wasn't going to be in movies with my chicken.
Stop,
what was it? Grilled chicken?
Not grilled.
No, it's ground. Just like ground chicken taco meat.
Yes.
Fajitas.
And Chris Manitowitz Waters chimes in, wasn't Robert Redford in Indecent Proposal? I guess that'd probably be the one that people would know him the most from if you didn't see him in The Natural.
There's also a movie called The Last Castle, which I watched a lot on TNT back in the day. There's a lot of daytime afternoons.
Oh, yeah. So oddly specific. It was like 4 o'clock when you got home from school?
Pretty much. Yep, it was on a lot. He was like a major in the army who got like court-martialed, then went to prison, and then like led an uprising against like a tyrannical warden who was played by James Gandolfini.
I remember that movie, yep.
It was a very solid afternoon watch.
6.9 on IMDb.
That's perfect.
Up close
69. I like that number.
The last thing here, and then we're going to get to For Real or Phony, is Up Close and Personal. I think that song's most famous for that Celine Dion song that It's All Coming Back to Me Now. I feel like that was the preview, like in the preview, that was the name of it. But it was Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer, where Robert Redford is a older reporter. He plays a reporter a lot. And who did I say that was? Michelle Pfeiffer is like his understudy. And they fall in love, which definitely would get you fired nowadays.
Yeah.
But in 1996, it was a love story. All right. Let's get to For Real or Phony.
Well, look who's talking now.
You talking to me? Then who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me?
Now, are they speaking the truth?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Or feeding us crap?
You're a phony! Hey, everybody! This guy's a great big phony!
Time to decide if it's for real or phony.
Yeah, guys, and we only play for real or phony when we need to listen to what somebody had to say and decide whether or not we believe that they sounded like they were speaking the truth or if they were being disingenuous. Now, one of our favorite people to do this with is Molly's favorite quarterback, Jordan Love. The most interesting man in Green Bay, right?
Yeah, I don't know about the most interesting.
He's definitely...
But I like him.
It's interesting when he talks, though, because we got to listen to the quarterback one in Green Bay. And he was on the Rich Eisen show earlier today, which you can now hear on ESPN Radio and Disney Plus. So here's one of the first questions that Rich Eisen had for Jordan Love, and you know, maybe he heard from his sources, maybe not Deep Throat, but maybe that Jordan Love was going to be taking more deep shots this year.
You're pushing the ball down the field more. There's some, you know, next gen stats that can support that. Is that true? Are you pushing the ball down more, put the field more than you have, Jordan?
I don't know about more. I feel like, since I've been here, our offense is always, we've always taken shots. So we've always been an offense that tries to push the ball down the field. But, you know, I think last year we leaned on that run game. You know, we brought Josh Jacobs in and he was doing such a great job and we were killing it running the ball where, we might not have been taking as many shots. But, like I said before, the weapons we got, I think Matt has a lot of trust and confidence in the receivers and in me to, you know, he's going to dial up a couple more shots and obviously, give us those opportunities. But it comes down to just, you know, seeing if we get the right coverage, the right looks, the receivers go out there and win on their routes and just being smart with the ball. But
so, guys, I know we've talked a lot about Jordan Love and whether he's taking too many deep shots, whether he's being too much risky for the biscuit. So, Molly, what do you think? Do you think he sounds for real or phony when he says that? Most of that's up to Matt LaFleur to decide how the offense works.
I think he seems for real about it. I think he did a good job at acknowledging that, yeah, they leaned on the run game more last year with Josh Jacobs. But I don't feel like he's made... I mean, in the first game, he had a couple passes that we said could have been intercepted, should have been interceptions. But I don't feel like he's made any, like, crazy bleep-it throws this year by any means, really. I mean, there's been like a couple,
just
but nothing.
Just the one that he had picked, but there was a pass interference or a holding or something.
Yeah, and that was in the first game. And then obviously that one to Golden that, Ryan, you thought could have been intercepted by Washington in the second game. But I think he's being for real about it. I mean, yeah, he's being smarter with the ball this year, and they're not doing anything crazy, but also they haven't been in a situation where they had to do anything crazy.
Matt, what do you think?
I mean, for all the same reasons that Molly said, I think that's for real.
Makes
a good point. We did lean on the run last year, but in year one he did take a lot of shots, and this year it seems like it's taken a fair number, but I think like not something crazy. What are we thinking, like 4 to 6?
Three to five? I can give you a little context to what Rich Eisen was talking about here. This is from Acme Packing Company, so like I don't believe Jordan Love is good at the deep ball, but they don't put that stat in here because that's why I don't like fan bloggers. They only put the positive stats in here. But by this definition here, he has the second highest deep percentage in the league, and that's defined as ball that travels at least 20 yards through the air downfield. 12.5% of his passes are considered deep, over 20 yards in the air downfield.
So yeah, if he's throwing 30 passes a game, that's 3 deep balls.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know what this says about what the league thought or thinks of Jordan Love. He is the second most blitzed quarterback, only behind Daniel Jones.
Through two games this season?
Now, we all know. Now, the difference is this year, the blitz isn't getting home. Jordan Love historically has not been good off his mark. Like, when Jordan Love actually faces pressure from the blitz, he's pretty terrible. But
pressure.
He has not
pressure.
Faced that pressure. Like, he's been able to get the ball out with these deep throws. He's 15 to 25 for 297 and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, because the pressure has not gotten home to him. So when they blitz, and then he can go deep. So one of the things you might see even Cleveland do is stop blitzing.
Yeah.
And then he might have less deep throws.
To be fair, you got to look who we played. You played the Lions, who love to blitz. That's got to be part of that stat because it's through two games, you know. Anyway, next one, Ryan.
All right, guys, the next thing he was asked about was in that Commanders game as well. He also was delivering some shots with his legs as he knocked over one of the cornerbacks for the Washington Commanders. Let's go ahead. That's what they called him.
Before that game.
That's what Jim called him.
You did too. You agreed.
I did call him Bambi.
That's what Packer fans called him. When I was walking around the office. Like, he's still not a graceful runner. That still wasn't graceful. Good job by him running someone over, but still not a graceful athlete.
Jordan Love, I'm on your side. Nobody else here is.
Well, Rich Eisen is also on his side.
You like Aaron Rodgers.
I can like two people.
All right,
I've got enough love for everybody.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Rich Eisen asked if anyone in the locker in the clubhouse is asking him to take or be giving less shots.
Anybody talk to you about sliding, not taking shots like that? Jordan Love, anything?
Man, I think anytime as a quarterback you take off a run and don't slide, you know, you're going to hear from the coaches, the GM, everybody in the building is going to tell you, you know, they don't want to slide. But, I mean, given the situation, like you said, 39, you know, we haven't scored yet. We're trying to find a way to put up points. I think everybody was happy that I put that shoulder down and we didn't just settle, you know, for a fourth down or a field goal or whatever. That, you know, sometimes you got to go make that play, put your shoulder down, and, you know, it probably won't be happening many more times. But given the situation, you got to do what you got to do. I'll take the Angry Runs trophy, but you said, it's not the trophy we want in the long run.
Molly? Do you think he sounded for real or phony there when talking about whether or not he's going to be taking more shots with his body?
For real. I think he did a good job at acknowledging that, people probably don't want him to, especially with his injury record from last year. But he had to do what he had to do. So I can appreciate it. Matt? Love the grind.
I mean, the guy takes up a fifth of the total salary cap for the Packers. Like, he needs to... If he said nobody talks to me when I run the ball and take shots and no one tells me not to do that, like, I would say that was phony. So the fact that someone did and is like, hey, you're our biggest asset, maybe you should slide down, that's got to be for real. Because I would say that if I was the GM of the Packers.
Jim?
Yeah, absolutely for real, and he does need to stop, because what's going to happen is the next time he's on the sideline, someone's going to light his ass up. Like, because they're going to be like, oh, you want to play this game and put your head down? Well, now I'm going to bring it. And I'm not saying that Jordan took advantage. Like, it wasn't like the Patrick Mahomes kind of pretend out of bounds sort of thing. I'm just saying that if someone knows, heck, even the refs, because the whole knock on, like, Justin Fields specifically is he never gets the roughing the passer calls because he's always, like, leaning into hits and all that kind of stuff that, like, as a quarterback, it is smart to slide. I get I'm not ripping him for that in general, but I guarantee his coaches lean heavy into it because the last thing you want is like someone from Myles Garrett being like, oh, you think you can run? Yeah. How about I run you down from behind and then bury you into the ground?
Fatality.
So, like, that's what's going to happen if he continues to try to put his shoulder down. Someone's going to come in with, like, a hit to try to blow up his shoulder or whatever.
Right.
Because they're football players. It's not specific to him. Like, they're going to come and try to hit. So, it is for real, though. I'm sure the Packers are telling him, bro, great job. Awesome trucking that guy, but don't do it again.
Yeah.
Do you think there's anyone in the locker room talking about his crazy background for this interview as well, by the way? Looking like he's in an insane
asylum. So you can look on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream, and yes, it does look like Jordan Love has been taken captive. It is a all-white background in a... I think you can see a white...
chair?
There's a black chair. There's an outlet, a white wall, but then a whiteboard. But you can see the white trim around the whiteboard. But
you think he's at Lambeau?
Yeah.
Like the quarterback room?
God, I hope so. If that's his home, someone needs to check on him.
Minimalist, Jim. It's a style.
No, it's not a style. It is, but it's not like that.
Not that white.
That is more like Ryan's private room, sort of. Like,
yeah, that's a safe room right there.
That is
a full-on safe room. That is where they hid Deep Throat from, like, Nixon and all the other CIA agents. But there was one last question that Rich Eisen...
Since you brought Deep Throat up, 608 chimes in. We actually found out who Deep Throat was about 10 years ago. He was interviewed on 60 Minutes because he had written a book. His name was Mark Felt. He actually died just a few years ago and was in his 90s. So shout out to Deep Throat because he did maybe help save democracy.
Oh, Mark Felt, the man who brought down the White House.
Was trying to circumvent the election.
R.I.P.
All right.
All right, there was one last thing that Rich Eisen had to ask Jordan Love about, and whether or not anyone in the Packers organization is talking about Super Bowls yet this season.
Yes, Star Favre and the guy you have succeeded there in Rodgers all won championships at age 27 in Green Bay. Do you talk openly about the Super Bowl? Does Matt LaFleur say it? Do you talk about it? Everybody walk around? I know you got Cleveland, you got to take it week to week, et cetera, so forth. But is it openly discussed about how well you've started and that this could be it? Jordan?
I don't even think it's about how well we started. I think, you know, our mindset coming to the season, when we get here for OTAs, when we get back for training camp, you know, we always, in our team meeting room, we have the, you know, the trophies that we've won in the past, and then we have a empty trophy spot that we're trying to fill and win that Super Bowl trophy. So that's always the message that we start the season with is what do we got to do to fill that void? What do we have to do to get over that hump of losing in the playoffs the past couple of years, and how do we take it to the next level? So that's always a mindset that we start the season off. But, you know, there's so many things that come before that. And I think the NFC North is just getting back to taking the NFC North back and winning that division is going to help, you know, set us up. And then obviously you get to playoffs, things like that. You got to go out there and win every week. So there's a lot of steps that take before you get there. But no, we've definitely talked about trying to bring that title back here to Lambeau and back to Title Town.
That was Jordan Love. That was For Real or Phony. We don't have time to actually ask if you guys if that was for real or phony. But I do want to ask this Siding Unlimited poll question as we go to break. We got Jason Wilde on the other side. Will Jordan Love finish his career? Or will Jordan Love finish with the best career/legacy of any QB in the 2020 draft? That's Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua, Jordan Love, and Jordan Hurts. We'll answer that and we'll get your calls,
Jaylen,
a little bit later in the show. What did I say?
Jordan.
Hurts. Wow. Jordan Hurts? Oh, Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
My bad.
It's okay.
844.
If you combine him into one quarterback, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty
844-770-3776. That's Carbon Stock and Text Line. You can answer that Siding Unlimited poll question. If you're looking for a great place for a happy hour, check out the Sizzle, Swizzle, and Swirl happy hour at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. Madison's best kept secret for a happy hour, check out Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton for their Sizzle, Swizzle, and Swirl happy hour. Jason Wilde, next.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
It's not like a
that'd be fun.
Like not like a compound, not even like one big like a compound. Where yeah. Everyone's got their own house. You got your own thing.
Sound a little creepy.
Yeah,
a little
it's getting a little
there.
Weird. But you have to wear the white robe that's provided for you on the bed.
Actually, what I'm saying is, who's coming with me?
If so, it's on Jim's dime, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like I'll wear the white robe. I got it.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Thank you for helping me prove my point, Molly. Because
you're welcome.
Well, is this Matt Hamilton?
Okay. Molly said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
You have a question for Jason, or how is he supposed to respond?
No, he asked the questions to me. No bats.
By hanging up.
And Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Oh, snap. What's up with
that? What's up with that? And we are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. A little bit of news here, Packer-related. Aaron Jones, Vikings running back on the IR, and Darnell Savage released. So former Packer is in the news there. Molly Brown, Matt Hamilton, primetime Laura Shine with you, and Jason Wilde now joining the show. Jason, how are you on this super hot Tuesday that a normal person wouldn't wear a crew neck sweatshirt that Molly Brown is wearing? You can see it on ESPN Madison YouTube stream.
Wait. Matthew Hamilton is on the show today?
And he's in a tank top. He is in a tank top and on the show.
Hello. Hi, Jason.
Hello. I've seen you curl with a tank top, so I know that's kind of standard issue for you.
You curl in a tank top?
I've
and a Speedo, if I remember correctly. Or maybe I just dreamt
what?
That.
I don't know how you got the half-thrown rock without pants before out of dare.
I got sources, man. I got sources.
Wow, you really do. Do you have a code name for them?
Well, set it up.
I'm not doing it.
Well, Jason, we were talking about Robert Redford and the movie All the President's Men came up. And so obviously, famously, and we just learned that we knew that the source's code name was Deep Throat. I did not know, Ryan, that I learned from... a 608 number that Mark Felt who died a few years ago, was actually revealed as Deep Throat. I must have missed that somewhere because it was Woodward and Bernstein. And I'll ask you that question. What do you know Robert Redford most for? Like, what movie do you know him the most from? I said The Natural.
No, it's All the President's Men for me. You know, obviously being a capital J journalist.
Yes, yep.
I love that movie. And then the other one, which was, you have to be of a certain age, and your three compatriots there are not of that age, I don't think. But my big one is Indecent Proposal.
Yep.
Which I wish I had never seen, because it also, I think I was, like, that's one of those, it's probably going to ruin your relationship type movies. You then discuss it afterward.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah. Just put a disclaimer on that. Do not watch this if your relationship is at all in peril.
Exactly. So that was something. Poor Woody Harrelson, that did not work out the way he was hoping.
No.
But yeah, those are the two, and The Natural's probably three, if I'm being honest.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I forgot he was in Pete's Dragon, a movie that my kids enjoy. So I would put that on my list too because he was good in that.
Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, it's off the book, and he plays.
Well,
like
yeah,
a grandfather.
But yeah. No. I know who. Yeah. I know Pete's Dragon. Robert Redford is in Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, he plays like the grandpa.
Lampy. I only know that because I just Googled it.
It's a good movie. It's got almost a 7
in
on
your
IMDb.
Sweatshirt.
Yep, sweating.
Packers. Jason, so they got a game coming up against Cleveland, and Jordan Love was on, and so it made me think of Cleveland's really intense defense. I know they give a lot of points to Baltimore, but in general, Cleveland's got a pretty good defense. I found some interesting numbers that basically Jordan Love is getting blitzed a ton. Only Daniel Jones has been blitzed more, and right now, because the pressure's not getting home, I believe he's still subpar when, like most quarterbacks are, when the pressure, when he's actually under duress, but when he's blitzed and it doesn't get home, he's lighting the world up, and the Packers are, I think, second in deep pass percentage, which is a pass over 20 yards in the air in the NFL. Do you think that continues, or do you think teams just stop blitzing Jordan Love and try to get him to beat him with his mind, maybe?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and send me those statistics so I can steal them and use them on channel3000.com.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be curious to see how teams defend him moving forward, because look, let's be honest, the biggest thing that they've done defensively in the first two games is load the box and say we're not letting Josh Jacobs beat us, and so they have struggled to run the ball effectively, and I don't think that will continue. I think that they will eventually get that figured out, and then that'll obviously impact, you know, their play action game. The deep ball part of this is really interesting to me. I asked LaFleur actually two questions about it yesterday, back-to-back, because, you know, let's be honest, he did not miss either one of those deep balls to Matthew Golden by much, mm-hmm. right? The 92-yarder, he overthrows him, which, again, if I'm throwing to Matthew Golden, I don't want to underthrow him, right?
Yeah.
Because he's super fast. And as LaFleur said when I asked him, you know, I think if Love puts just a little bit more air under the first one, a 92-yard touchdown, and I totally agree with him. And then the other one was the one, I don't know, would have been 30-some yards. Woolley can look it up, but you know, he underthrows him just by a tiny bit, like diving at the goal line. But otherwise, you're talking about, you know, 130-some yards of receptions and two touchdowns, two big-time touchdowns. You know, he hit on the 48-yarder to Romeo in the first one. The touchdown that Jaden Reed gets hurt on is a 39-yard touchdown, and I mean, he dropped that in the bucket, and Reed made an unbelievable throw. Unfortunately, A, it didn't count, and B, broke his collarbone. But I think he really, I will say this, and I asked Jordan about it after the game too, he really enjoys that. Like, I know Rodgers certainly did when he got the right coverages, but he was more of a guy that with his arm talent, he was going to find a guy that was barely open and fit it into a tight window without managing to put it in peril like his predecessor would. Love's got a little bit of Favre in him, a little bit of the effort, you know, Matthew Golden's down there somewhere type of a deal. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to keep going, Jason. Aaron Banks and Zach Tom, should we expect to see them on the field against the Browns on Sunday?
That's another great question. And I'll try and be more clear when I am ending my sentence. I thought I was clear, but I did. I apologize for
that.
Aaron Banks, as I'm sure you all read on channel3000.com, buried inside my story about Anthony Belton, I'm sure you read how Aaron Banks told me that he's going to play, he's good to go, to which I wanted to say to him, but I don't know him well enough at this point. Yeah, all you guys always say you're ready to go.
Right.
Like, this is the, you're not the first one to tell me they're ready to go, but you're not a doctor, and neither am I. But if he does go, you know, obviously that there's a reason why they paid him an enormous salary, although the structure of that contract's weird. Like, they did not commit to him at a $77 million level, even though that's the actual number of the contract. But look, Jordan Morgan, they view him as a sixth starter. So if he has to play at left guard again, I didn't think he played great, but I got to wait till I talk to Bulaga tomorrow on our show to have that confirmed or tell me that I'm an idiot. And Anthony Belton held his own, right? I mean, for a guy that the enduring image for me anyway, of him until Thursday night had been him getting absolutely read the riot act by LaFleur coming off the field at halftime in Indianapolis. I mean, you know, he was almost as mad at him then as he was at Kingsley Enagbare during the game on Thursday. Did you guys see that on the sideline?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to think.
He started to run onto the field thinking it was a punting situation, which, by the way, it probably should have been. And so then they got the penalty and he was pissed. And so he just, did he light him up?
Yes.
I believe that in my day, we would have said, chill out, dude. Anthony Belton played well, like, considering the circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, they started the game with him rotating with Dolly Parton's cousin. And then they went directly just to Belton in the entire second half. So, I think they feel good about that. But, again, I really enjoyed writing this story yesterday, was that, you know, he's got some sort of friendship with Josh Connerly, who was the left tackle at Oregon, who is the right tackle for the Commanders. And you saw in the game that Jeff Hafley, the Packers defensive coordinator, said, okay, that's the weak spot. Laramie Tunsil's like a five-time Pro Bowler. We're not going to waste Micah Parsons going after the left tackle. We're going to go have him cook the right tackle, who's a rookie. And it was smart, right? Parsons finished with 8 pressures. I think Pro Football Focus had Connerly with 2 sacks allowed and 7 pressures. So that's great. But what I loved about Belton, he's like, yeah, Josh, what we did to him, they're going to try to do to me with Myles Garrett. And so, you know, I will say this about LaFleur. I think overall, if you look through his history, including against Micah Parsons in that playoff game when they went down to Dallas and cooked him, he's pretty good at scheming up protections to prevent great pass rushers from wrecking the entire game. And so I'm guessing you're going to see Kraft lining up next to Belton a lot and thumping Myles Garrett on his way out on his pass routes. I'm guessing they're going to slide protections that way. I'm guessing they're going to have, you know, they've done a really good job with their running backs blocking for Love in the pass game, picking up blitzes, but they may also just be back there to just pick up Myles Garrett after he gets by Belton, if that ends up being the way they go. LaFleur left open the possibility that Tom will be back this week. That might just be gamesmanship. We'll learn more tomorrow when we see if he practices or not.
Jason, I need a little insider information from you. I've got Matthew.
You're the
Golden
one supposed to give that to me.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, you're the insider. You got all these buddies that are in the league and stuff. You're usually feeding
Thomas.
Me good stuff.
That's right, but Thomas
deep throat.
Thomas doesn't have access to Matt LaFleur in the same way you do. Thomas just roots through his garbage, so looking for play designs.
Hold on. What, Matt?
I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding,
obviously. But I am curious about Matthew Golden. My fantasy football team has him. He's got four targets through 2 weeks and 4 points. Is there a plan to like ramp him up a little bit? Like, we blew a first.
Are you really asking him for fantasy advice
now? What I'm more asked about
on?
Matthew
so
Golden and his usage.
I was going to ask a similar question, but not fantasy football focused. So,
like,
well, yeah, but
I understand him in, but like, it's been two games. You got your feet wet. Let's get more than two targets a game.
All right, help me out here because sometimes on this show, I'm not sure if I said something, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I said it on our show or Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Plus, I got to talk to Homer after this. Did I not just say earlier about the two? That was on this show, right? About the deep balls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the two, they were both targeted to him. And they missed. I mean, you ever heard of it's a game of inches?
Yeah, but Jason, it's two targets. It's not that healthy.
Yes,
work
they were
I'm looking for.
But they're massive. Thank you, Molly. Again, they were massive targets. A and B, like two targets in this offense is a pretty high percentage.
Yep.
Given how much they spread the damn ball around, like
so. No.
That first game, they had 10 different guys catch balls. Like,
okay. Thank you. I'm taking him out of my starting lineup.
I'm not here. I hope he has a 100-yard game now.
Well, you told me.
And what I'm telling you is I wouldn't. All right. So, again, I don't know if I've told this story before. I don't play fantasy football. I don't give advice because the last time I gave actual fantasy football advice, Amon Green was still the Packers' starting running back. And my girlfriend from high school that I remained friends with for a long time lives out in Utah. She's a wonderful Mormon gal, but she's not very good at fantasy football either, so she wants my help with her roster. And she's got these two running backs she's trying to decide between, and she calls me the morning of a game and says, hey, this is who I have. Who should I start? And one of them's Amon Green. And they're playing the Lions that day. And I said, well, Amon Green is averaging like 120 yards a game against the Lions. You know, I would probably start him. He's been really productive against them. And in fairness to me, he had like 110 and a touchdown, which is pretty good, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The problem is the other running back was Jamal Lewis of the Baltimore Ravens, who on that very day set the NFL single game rushing record with 300 and some yards or something ridiculous. So,
wow.
So don't take my advice, but what I would say to you, all with all due respect, is that you would be taking a shirtless victory lap around the studio, the Everlight. You'd have Everlight Solar like shaved into your chest hair if you had to, because you'd be so happy because he caught a 92-yard touchdown and like a 40-yard touchdown and gave you all those points. If they just – like the fact that Love underthrew him on the one that should have been a 40-yard touchdown, whatever it was, I'm sure Wooly's still working to look it up. But whatever it was – like that was there.
It would have been a 33-yard touchdown, Jason.
Thank you. 33 and 92, that's 125 plus the two touchdowns. That's like
a lot of
30 points.
Points,
isn't it?
Jamar Chase.
190. What'd you say? 130 yards, roughly.
125.
So
125 yards.
19. That's 25 points right there.
Take that.
And then half point PPR, which puts me at 26.
All right.
Jim's falling asleep, guys.
Yeah, for many reasons. But
no, but that you make a good point, Jason, but the target share is not where I would like it to be, is all I'm getting at.
I will let Matt LaFleur know.
Thank you.
Jason, awesome stuff. We really appreciate your time, even if we are, you know, badgering you with fantasy football questions.
I love Matt Hamilton. That's going to be a hot key. I am always happy to help him in any way I can, although I don't think I did today. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Thank you, Jason. Matt, tell us about Odyssey.
Thank you.
Odyssey is that delicious cheese made right here in Wisconsin. They make feta cheese. They also make a delicious Greek yogurt. Fantastic dips, Southwest dip, tzatziki dip, all sorts of stuff. It's Greek yogurt based. It's made right here in Wisconsin with locally sourced milk. So if you are as diehard Wisconsin as I am, check out Odyssey in the grocery stores, anywhere you get delicious cheese, because they're nationwide, baby. And get your Greek on with Odyssey Feta.
This is Jim, Matt, Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
So Correct. Now they're basically saying you can have an elite defender, like edge rusher and like, you know, quarterback tackler, but without the elite quarterback, it's not enough.
Quarterback tackler? Yeah. What is wrong with you?
That's what Micah Parsons is. He's not a run stop guy.
Jordan Love is a ball thrower. What are we saying?
He is. That is facts.
It's word salad.
Oh my gosh. I am embarrassed.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Management are a fiduciary. They will make sure that the moves they make are not for their short-term gain or your short-term gain. They're going to have your best interest in mind throughout the time that you work with them. So help them. Go reach out to them and have them help you come up with a good financial plan at Canopy Wealth Management. Canopy-Wealth.com is the website. I'm Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown with you. Primetime Warshine behind the glass. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. We did throw out, and we're running a little bit late here, so we're going to throw out the poll question, and then we'll kind of reset here for the top of the hour, but I do want to get your thoughts on it early. Will Jordan Love finish with the best career/legacy of any QB in the 2020 draft class? Right now, 69% of you say yes. And
69. I like that number.
31% of you say no. The class includes Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua, Jordan Love, and Jalen Hurts. We all can agree before we get the break here, Tua's off, like Tua's dead last in this, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Which does speak to,
if you're going to look at it right now, Tua's dead last.
Yeah, and it speaks to the depth of this class, though, because Tua isn't a bad quarterback. I mean, he's definitely...
He's been bad this year so far.
Yeah, he's definitely a system guy, but I mean, against New England, he threw for 315 yards, 81% completion percentage, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. The stats lie on him, absolutely. But it is crazy. He made a Pro Bowl. He got MVP votes 1 year. For his career, he completes 68% of his passes. He's thrown for 16,000 yards, 103 touchdowns, and 47 interceptions. And the team is 66-64 with him as a starter.
He's also been hurt.
I'm sorry, 38-26 with him as a starter. Oh, yeah, I'm just saying that, like, mm-hmm. This is a hell of a QB class.
He needed his coaches and GM to say slide more.
That is true.
Yeah.
It's
definitely an aspect for guys like him and Joe Burrow. The injuries have kind of held them back so far.
Yeah, no, I mean, if Joe Burrow hadn't made a Super Bowl, he made a Super Bowl, lost to the Chiefs. Lost to the Rams.
Plays for the Bengals.
That's right, because he played the Chiefs and beat them.
Yes.
So, outside of that, for Joe Burrow, like, he can sling the pill, but even last year, he had 5,000 yards, but they were...
That's not his fault.
8-9. No, it's not his fault, but that's still going to be something that you'll be remembered. That's like Dan Marino.
Yes.
Like, you'll be an all-time great, but you're never going to be on Rushmore if you don't win at all.
69% completion percentage for Joe Burrow.
69. I like that number.
19,000 yards, 142 touchdowns to 46 interceptions, a career QB rating of 101.1.
Okay!
So, yeah, he is a...
He's number two. Hurts has won a Super Bowl. Well, who's number one? And then Jordan Love, currently, at this moment in time, is third in this class,
Matt,
in my opinion.
Didn't you say in our group chat yesterday that you would want Jake Browning over Joe Burrow?
I mean, if you look at the fantasy points, Jake Browning's lighting up right
numbers.
Now.
Take that for data.
The numbers.
Let's get
data, Ryan.
Let's get Molly's thoughts and your thoughts on the other side. This is Jim, Matt, Molly, presented by Coors Light.